1 is where we're going to be today. Romans chapter 1, if you're physically able, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church. Romans chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." That's the title of our message this morning. If you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back. The Bible says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And changed, by the way, anytime we go against God's Word, we have just professed ourselves to be a fool. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the subject matter is. When we go against what God has clearly said, and we start to believe our own opinion, especially, my goodness, in the year that we live in, 2021, we think that things are different just because we live in a different year. Just because we've come down the pike a little way and because we're so smart now. The Bible says here, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." And this morning I want to speak to us about that little phrase in verse 21, "neither were thankful." Father, please help today. Please teach us. Father, please help us not, especially those of us in here this morning who are believers. We know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We've had our sins plunged beneath the blood of Christ. Father, help us not to miss the application today. And Father, for those that might be here today, who've never received Christ as their Savior, there's never been a moment in their life where they realized who they were as a sinner and cried out to Jesus Christ to save them. Father, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, I pray that today, as verse number 16 says, they would not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, teach us and help us this morning. Father, just bless. We commit the next few moments to You. We ask that You'd bless them. And Father, we'll give You the glory, honor, and praise right now for what You're going to do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I mentioned this last night during the Fall Fest, but there are many areas of my Christian life and my Christian walk in which I desire to grow, in which I simply desire to do better. And one of those areas relates to that which we celebrate this month. I truly desire to be a more thankful and grateful Christian. Of any people upon this earth, God's children should absolutely be the most thankful and grateful of all. By the way, we use those words interchangeably, grateful and thankful, and in many areas they are very similar, but they are different words. Thankfulness carries the idea of a feeling. We are appreciative, we are thankful when someone does something for us. Gratefulness is the idea of the action that follows from our thankfulness. Thankfulness ought to move us to gratefulness. It ought to move us to action. The passage before us today makes it blatantly clear of the danger in which we place ourselves when we fail to be thankful. Now, we know the context of Romans chapter 1, and we know the dire consequences detailed in Romans chapter 1. And by the way, we're not even going to look really much past verse number 23 this morning, but we know what happens to individuals who reject the truth of the gospel and who seek to live apart from the one true God. But Romans 1:21 details to us how vital thankfulness truly is in the life of everyone, even the believer. And I submit to us this morning that we dwell in a precarious position when we refuse to recognize the goodness of the God of heaven. When we begin to glorify self because of our achievements, or when we become wise in our own eyes. The reprobate man in Romans chapter 1, the man who does not stand the test, the man who is unfit, the man who is allowed to pursue his own path to its fearful and frightful end, the reprobate man becomes so because he rebels against God's glory and against the thankfulness that is rightly deserved by God. And this morning, I want us to be challenged and reminded that we must constantly sharpen our thanker. Now, I know that's not a word this morning, but I pray that we will be reminded that we need to constantly sharpen our gratefulness, our thankfulness, even as believers. Now, I understand that, look, Romans 1 is primarily speaking to the individual, the reprobate man, the man who has rejected the glory of God and the truth of the gospel of God. But even as believers, we can begin down a path that is very detrimental when we lose our thankfulness for God and for what He's done for us. And so I want to see that this morning. Again, if you have a bulletin, you have the outline. But let me give you some truths that we find here in Romans chapter number 1. First of all, I want us to see this. I want us to see that God's testimony is declared in our passage. God's testimony is declared. Who He is, the witness of who He is. It's as if we're in a court and people are testifying about who God is. And we find that beginning in verse number 16. God's testimony is declared. First of all, it's a testimony of salvation. Verse number 16, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of what it has done for me. I'm not ashamed to preach it. I'm not ashamed to tell it to someone else. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto" what? Salvation. "It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." God's testimony is declared. It is a testimony of salvation. He has provided very graciously through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has provided salvation for every man. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He bled, He died, He was buried, He rose again the third day. And the Bible says He did all of that so that we could be saved. By the way, the Bible says that's the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15 says, that is the gospel. By the way, that's what the Apostle Paul preached. He preached the gospel. He didn't add anything to it. He didn't take anything away from it. It was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if an individual, a man, woman, boy, or girl, will put their faith and trust, their belief in the finished work of Christ, the Bible says they'll be saved. And by the way, if the Bible says that, God is always true to the facts. I can stand here today and know that I'm on my way to heaven based on what God's Word has said and what Jesus Christ has done. And the Bible says in verse 16, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I'm not saved by my own righteousness. I'm saved by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's righteousness. And so I stand before God today, not in my own righteousness, not in what I have done. You know, many people today, you ask them, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? They'll say, yes, because I've been a good person. That's your own righteousness. If you stand before God in your own righteousness, you're going to be condemned to hell. No, I stand in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's speaking of in verse number 17. So, God's testimony is declared. First of all, it is a testimony of salvation. Secondly, it is a testimony of revelation. Look at verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That little phrase just simply means that they know the truth, or they've been given the truth, and they reject it. They continue to walk in their unrighteousness. They continue to live in their unrighteousness. They hold the truth. They have the truth. It's been revealed to them, but they continue down a path of unrighteousness. Verse number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Number one, it's a testimony of salvation. Number two, it's a testimony of revelation. God has revealed to us to His truth. And by the way, probably more than any other people group in all the earth, Americans have had the Word of God revealed to them in a great fashion. You can walk into many, many places and get the Word of God. We have the truth. We have the Word of God. It's a testimony of salvation. It's a testimony of revelation. But thirdly, it's a testimony of creation. Would you look at verse 20? The Bible gives us in verse 20 the answer to people who ask the question, what about people who live in remote places? What about people that possibly never get to hear the glorious message of the gospel? Will they go to heaven or they go to hell? Well, if anybody never comes to Jesus Christ, anybody, whoever it may be, they'll die and go to hell. The Bible tells us in verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, every man, and by the way, missionaries will tell you this, missionaries will go to remote parts of this earth, and they will find people who may not know who the true God is, but they are worshiping some type of God because of creation. Because creation shows them that there is something greater than them. Creation shows them that there is a higher power than them. And the Bible tells us in verse number 20 that God, through His creation, has testified, has witnessed of who He is. He has testified and witnessed of His power and of the Godhead. And so the testimony of God is declared in Romans chapter number 1. The testimony of His salvation, what He has provided for us, His revelation, what He has given to us, His creation, what He has made, and His power, and the Godhead, verse number 20 says, and the Bible says, so that they are without excuse. Number 1 this morning, God's testimony is declared. And I submit to us this morning, I submit to us as a church family, that God has testified to us, and He does testify to us on a daily basis of who He is and what He does for us. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that He daily loads us with benefits. He daily testifies to us who He is. He daily testifies to us what He desires to do for us. And number one, God's testimony is declared, and that leads us to number two. Number one, God's testimony is declared. But number two, man's thankfulness is denied. Man's thankfulness is denied. After everything God has shown these individuals, His revelation, His salvation, His creation, after all the truth that they have heard, after all the truth they have seen, after the revelation, after they've seen people get saved, still no thankfulness. The Bible says neither were thankful. Number two, man's thankfulness is denied. And I submit to you this morning, I submit to us, that when we come to a place in our lives where we're not thankful and we're not grateful, and we'll get to this in our third truth in just a moment, but when we come to a point like that, we are in a very dangerous position. Because I submit to us, Romans 1, if and we're not going to do it this morning, but if we read the rest of the chapter, you know what's mentioned there. There's homosexuality, there's perversion run amok in the lives of these individuals who reject the truth of God. And by the way, the Bible says they not only rejoice and revel in them doing it, but they rejoice and revel in other people doing it. And do we not live in a nation like that today that rejoices in wickedness and rejoices when other people are living in wickedness? And if we drop back where it all begins, is because they're not thankful. They're not thankful to the one who did all of that. The Bible says they become vain in their own imaginations. They begin to think all of this is because of us. God didn't have anything to do with it. It's all because of us. We're so smart today. Look at what we can do. God didn't have anything to do with this. The Bible says they become vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Man's thankfulness is denied. Two things here. First of all, he withstands God's glory. The Bible says in the first part of 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. When they saw the creation, when they heard and saw the revelation, when they heard about salvation and saw that everything that Christ had done, they refused to give God glory. You say, Pastor, that's not me. I'm thankful for my salvation. I love creation. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Do we thank God when we get a promotion? Or do we say, I did that on my own? Do we thank God for all the supply, the daily supply He gives us? Or do we say, no, I went out and I worked 80 hours this week. I got what I deserve. No, if we got what we deserved, we'd be dying and headed to hell right now. Because that's what we deserve. They refused to give God glory. They refused to glorify Him for who He was and for what He did. First of all, He withstands God's glory. Dear church family this morning, there may be areas in the Bible that we may not necessarily like, but we better sure give God glory for it. Because it's all His Word. And we don't just give Him glory with our lips. We give Him glory with how we live. We give Him glory with our actions. Our practices ought to match up with our precepts, our principles, what we say we believe. Our behavior ought to match what we say we believe. That's how we give Him glory. And the Bible says that these individuals would not give Him glory. They saw creation and they attributed it to something else. They attribute it to evolution. They attribute it to the Big Bang. They will not give God glory. First of all, He withstands God's glory. Man's thankfulness is denied. Secondly, He withholds His gratitude. He withstands God's glory and He withholds His gratitude. By the way, how does this happen in the life of the believer? How do we withhold our gratitude? After seeing everything God has done for us, how do we withhold our gratitude when there's no commitment? We don't work for Him. We don't serve Him. There's no commitment. We could take or leave the house of God. Hey, this contemporary church age that we're living in, you know what it's breeding? It's breeding no commitment. It's breeding superficial Christians who, hey, I'll come Sunday morning, that's it. Don't ask me to do anything else during the week. By the way, the church isn't asking you to do it. God is. The pastor's not. Look, if I have to beg someone to do it, I don't want them to do it. If I have to beg you, I don't want you to do it. Because you're just doing it for me anyway. You're just doing it because you don't want the pastor to be on your back anymore. No, we don't do it for people anyway. We do it for God. We don't wake up every morning and say, hey, how should I live today? How should I live for my wife today? How should I live for my pastor today? No, how should I live for God today? What should I say? How should I act? Yes, how should I treat my wife? But because it's a reflection of what I'm doing for God. Not because I simply want to please her. No, because I want to please my God. How does that happen in the life of a believer? How do we withhold gratitude? No commitment. No commitment. We don't work for God. Secondly, no communion. We don't worship God. No communion. We ought to worship God every day. Every day. Now, Sunday is the day when we corporately worship as a church. And we do that on Sunday because that's what the first century New Testament church did. It's because Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and so we meet together on Sunday and worship together corporately. But dear friend, this ought not be my only day of worship. I ought to worship God every day. I ought to be in communion with God every day. I ought to be lifting my voice in prayer and praise to God every day. I ought to be lifting my heart in submission to God every day when I read the Word and I allow the Word of God to work in my heart and submit myself to it. No commitment. We don't work for Him. No communion. We don't worship Him. No consecration. We don't walk in His Word. We don't walk for Him. We don't live for Him. We allow things in our lives that are absolutely in opposition to God's Word. And that's how we withhold our gratitude. I don't live the way that I live, and we've said it so many times, I don't live the way that I live in order to get myself to heaven. I live the way that I live in gratitude to the God who has made the way for me to get to heaven. That's why I do what I do. I don't do what I do to gain any merit from anybody. I don't do what I do to get any applause from anybody. I do what I do in gratefulness for what God has already done for me. They withheld their gratitude, and they withstood His glory. They said, no, we're not going to give You glory for this. We're going to attribute it to something else. Man's thankfulness is denied. Let me ask us, dear church family, are we a grateful people? I believe we are. Are you individually a thankful person? Are you a grateful person? Do you give God glory for everything? By the way, the good and the bad. The good and the bad. And all we're talking about this morning is the good. Salvation, revelation, creation. God has declared His testimony. And because of that, the result of that ought to be gratefulness. That should have been the response. But that wasn't the response. The response was, we're not going to give You glory. We're not going to give You thanks. Man's thankfulness is denied. He withstands God's glory. He withholds His gratitude. Let me give you number three. Man's trajectory is depraved. What happens, or what does happen in Romans 1 after verse number 21? It's all downhill. Now, I said I wasn't going to read it, but I think I might just read it. It's all downhill. You say, but Pastor, that's talking about the reprobate man. That's talking about the man that God has given up. I understand that. And I would dare say that's probably not most of the individuals in here this morning. However, the application is still for us. Even as a Christian, when I get on a path where I refuse to give God glory and I refuse to give Him the gratefulness that He deserves, my trajectory is down. It's down. Look what the Bible says in verse 21, the second half of the verse. But, okay, since they wouldn't give Him glory, they weren't thankful, they weren't grateful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Hey, you know why we're dealing with all this transgender mess in our society today? It's because we have individuals who refuse to give God glory for who they are. That's the truth. They refuse to say, God, thank You for making me a woman. Thank You for making me a man. That's what the verse says. They became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. God is different than us. God is holy. God is not corruptible. And the Bible says they made an image. They began to worship something similar to God, but they made it into the image of something corruptible, like man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Man's trajectory is depraved. First of all, letter A, if you're taking notes, if you have a bulletin, human intellect is exalted. Human intellect is exalted. Verse number 21, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Human intellect was exalted. I'm thankful for human intellect. I'm thankful for the smarts that God gives us. But we should never exalt that above the Word of God. Never. Well, we're smarter now. We have more information. People are smarter than that. No, they're not. I submit to us this morning that my grandparents' generation was smarter than we are, because they simply, by faith, believed what the Word of God said. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about not studying and asking questions. That's not what I'm saying at all. Dear friend, they studied. They studied the Word of God. And they found it to be true every time. Here's the problem. Our generation hasn't studied it, and so we just blindly say it's not true. We've never put it to the test, and so we say, well, it doesn't work. It's because you've never tested it. You've never put it to the test. You've never obeyed it to see if it actually would come out the way it said it would. Man's trajectory is depraved. Human intellect is exalted. Divine revelation is dethroned, and human reasoning is enthroned. Human intellect is exalted. And by the way, we can do that as Christians too. We can exalt human intellect, our opinion, over what the Bible says. And we can head down that slippery path just the way the reprobate man did. Secondly, not only is human intellect exalted, heavenly illumination is expelled. Verse number 21 again, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why was their foolish heart darkened? It's easy. They cast out the light. They refused the light. The light of the revelation of God's Word, the light of the truth, the light of life, Jesus Christ, they rejected Him. They expelled Him out of their lives. Heavenly illumination. Look, human intellect was exalted. Heavenly illumination was expelled. But we don't want that anymore. And dear friend, that's what we need. That's what every generation needs. We need illumination from the heavens. We need the illumination from God's Word. Heavenly illumination is expelled. And thirdly, let her see heathenistic idolatry is exercised. And that's the downward trajectory. That's the depraved trajectory when we're not thankful, when we're not grateful. Verse number 22, the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Again, all of these things that we're arguing about today, it's because we worship the creature more than the one who created it. Because if we gave the Creator glory, and if we were grateful for His creation, His salvation, His revelation, we would give the glory that He is due, that He deserves. We would be grateful to Him. But instead, you know what we do? We question everything He does. We question everything He's ever said. And our foolish hearts have become darkened. You ever ask yourself the question? I know you do because I ask you. You ever ask yourself the question, how in the world did we get where we're at? Because their foolish hearts were darkened. There's no light. There's no light in them. They've expelled heavenly illumination. And their foolish hearts are darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse number 26. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. I thought people said the New Testament doesn't talk about this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, see, there we go again. It all comes back to God. They want to expel God out of their lives. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do, especially God. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God. See, there are Christians today in pews all across this nation, all around the world. They know the judgment of God. But the Bible says that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They know the judgment of God. They know that people who do those things are worthy of death, but they not only do them, but they have pleasure in the other people that do them as well. They have pleasure in them that do them. Dear friend, this morning, sharpen your thinker. Be grateful. Never get to a point in your life where you don't give God His true glory. You say, well, and by the way, I don't think we would ever with our lips, I don't think we would ever say it. Well, God, I'm just not going to give you glory. But what about our lives? Hey, by the way, everybody look this way. Everybody. This is serious stuff. You need to be looking this way. It's not a time to doodle. It's not a time to carry on. It's a time to listen to what God's Word says. God has placed me as the pastor of this church, and I love everybody in this church, and I hate to see people going down this road. I hate to see people who have become unthankful in their hearts, and they may be saved, and they may know Christ as Savior, but they're not thankful, they're not giving glory to God, and they're headed down a precarious path. It's time to listen. It's time to pay attention. Neither were thankful. Are you thankful this morning? Are you grateful? We saw in our Sunday school, and I'm done, in our Sunday school this morning, 2 Corinthians 9:15. But thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. But thanks be to God. And by the way, that passage, the context is about giving. And because of what He's done for me, I ought to be a giver. A grateful heart is a giving heart. A grateful heart is a giving heart. He says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. That's in the context of that passage, of that verse. Neither were thankful. God's testimony is declared. Dear friend, He declares it to us every day. Don't miss it. Don't withstand His glory. Don't withhold your gratitude. God's testimony is declared. Man's thankfulness is denied. Neither were thankful. And by the way, let me say this. Don't withhold your gratitude by the way that you live. Be committed to Him. Give Him your life. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about after salvation. Just say, God, what do you want me to do? God, what area of service do you want me to do in the church? God, what is it that you have for me to do? God, I know it's not just to come and sit on a pew every week. I know that. What do you have for me to do? Let's show our gratefulness. Let's commune with Him every day. Let's be consecrated to Him in the way we walk, the things we listen to, the things we look at, the things we allow into our eye gates and our ear gates. Because if not, we can fall on the same trajectory as the reprobate man in Romans chapter 1. When thankfulness is denied, man's trajectory is depraved. It's downward. Human intellect is exalted. Heavenly illumination is expelled. Heathenistic idolatry is exercised. Dear friend, I'm thankful for animals, but animals aren't more important than people. People have no problem killing a baby like that, but God help if you accidentally run over a possum. I'm serious. I mean, that's funny, but that's where we're at. And it's all Romans 1, because we're not thankful and because we don't give Him the glory. Father, help us. Help us as Your people. If there are any people that ought to be grateful, that ought to be thankful, it ought to be us. You've bought us with Your blood. You sent Your Son. He died. He bled. And that blood was the price for our sin. God, we ought to be thankful. Father, we know Your salvation. We know Your revelation. We see Your creation on a daily basis, and we're thankful for it. Father, help us never to deny You the glory and gratitude that You deserve. Because, Father, everything after verse 21 is all downhill. God, help us not to place ourselves on that path of unthankfulness, of not giving You the glory that You deserve. Help us to be a grateful people, Father, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask two quick questions, and then we're going to go to a time of invitation. Let me ask first of all, would there be anybody here, man, woman, boy, or girl? You say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved this morning. I'm not sure that if death were to take me, that heaven would be my home. I'm not sure. But Pastor, I'd sure like for you to pray for me this morning. I'm not sure about my salvation. Anybody at all with a raised hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if death were to take me today, if heaven would be my home. And I want to make sure I know that before I leave here today. I want to make sure that I know that I'm saved, that my sins have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to know that. Anybody at all with a raised hand? All right, here's the second question. Believers, how many of you would say, Pastor, I feel like I'm grateful. I really do. But Pastor, just like you, if there's an area in my life I want to do better in, I want to grow in, I want to be a more grateful Christian. How many of you, the raised hand, you say, Pastor, I just want to be a more grateful Christian. With hands raised high, I want to be a grateful Christian. Thank you so much for those hands. You can put them down. Anybody else? Pastor, I want to be a more grateful Christian. I want people at my work. I want my family. I want them to see that I'm grateful to my God for who He is and for what He's done for me. Anybody else with a raised hand? Pastor, I want to be a more grateful Christian. Not saying that I'm not already grateful, but I want to grow in that area in my life. Anybody else with a raised hand? Father, we thank You for these that raised hands this morning. Father, I pray that You'd help. I pray that You give all of us the courage and the boldness to simply give You the glory that You deserve, to be grateful and thankful for Your creation, Your salvation, Your revelation, for Your Word. And Father, I pray that You'd help us with that today. Help us not to be complainers. Help us not to be murmurers. Father, help us to be thanksgivers. Father, we have to sharpen that on a daily basis. We have to sharpen our thankfulness and our gratefulness. Help us to do so. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand. Miss Jo's going to play. If you need to come, believer, you raised your hand, you want to come and pray, do so. Maybe this front pew, maybe the platform, you'd come and pray, maybe right where you're at. Nobody raised their hand about salvation this morning. But everyone in here, you know your heart. You know you're standing before God right now. How is it? If death were to take you today, do you know without a doubt that you're headed to heaven, not based on anything you've done, but based on everything that Jesus Christ already did? Do you know that? If you don't, would you come? Believer, you do know that? Are you grateful for it? Are you thankful? Do you show it forth on a daily basis? Because even though we may never be the reprobate man and God may never turn us over, because we do know Him. We are His child. But boy, we can sure head down a precarious path when we become people that are ungrateful, unthankful. We don't give God His true glory for who He is, for what He says, for what He does. You know, I'm no different than anyone in here this morning. There are days when my old flesh wants me to complain and murmur. But the thing that brings me quickly back is simply remembering what Christ has done for me. Simply remembering where He's placed me, what He's done for me, the daily benefits that He loads me with, that brings me right back. That brings me back to say, God, please forgive me for even having that attitude and that spirit. God, help, forgive me for murmuring. Forgive me for complaining. God, You've been too good to me. You deserve all glory. You don't deserve my complaining. You deserve all glory. You deserve all praise. You deserve my thanksgiving. All right, amen. You can be seated. I'm going to ask Miss Mary and Ella May to come.